Hello and welcome back to the Fantasy Ramble by Energy Sport, the finest student-run fantasy football podcast in the country. My name is Jack Donnelly and we are here to bring you more insightful FPL tips for this weekend's batch of fixtures. As always, our league is still joinable on the official Premier League website. We're trying to aim for 50 members by the end of the season, so to be able to help us with that goal, be sure to join the league with the code DPPRDJ. Also, be sure to follow us over on Twitter at Fantasy Ramble to see all of our host predictions for the full set of Premier League fixtures this weekend. On today's panel, we have a stacked roster as we always do, but this could be one of the best. We'll start with Mr. Taylor Murray, who's a bit conflicted over what's happening this weekend because of a certain Colombian playmaker.
My heart, I feel like Rose on the Titanic. My heart will go on.
But your heart's going to go on regardless of whether he plays or not.
But I'm truly, truly not happy that he's not going to be gracing our TVs this weekend, by the looks of it. But I'm aligning in hope that I do wake up on Sunday and I just see the main man in the middle of the pitch. So
how late are you waking up if you're waking up for the Everton game?
I'm not going to lie. I'm saying I'm waking up. Most likely I will be in work, actually sitting still, greeting the fact he's not playing.
But, well, just know. In Morrison's Bakery, just absolutely crying tears into loaves, man.
I need to make that bread, mate, somehow.
I like that. You've done well there. You've done well. I'm a fan of that, to be fair.
Oh, God, but we're 2 minutes in and I've peaked.
Right, you've peaked. Right, we'll catch you in another podcast, Taylor, no bother. We're also joined by Jamie McIntosh, and I want to raise something with Jamie, actually. It was detailed all the Premier League squads, and there was a bit of a surprise inclusion for Chelsea's Premier League squad. And Petr Cech making a return to a potential return to action. And something even more intriguing is that Kepa is missing out in the squad entirely through injury this weekend. So what do we reckon? Could Petr Cech make a surprise appearance on the bench against Man United?
Potentially, I suppose. So I'm guessing we've got three goalkeepers then, have we? Is that three goalkeepers in the squad? You've got Mendy, Caballero and Petr Cech, yeah?
Who are currently fit, yeah. Even fully fit, the squad, I think it would still be three because I don't think you could class the Spaniard as a goalkeeper. So
yeah, that's a good point. I would be all for it, to be honest. I think it would throw the United strikers off way off their game. They would expect to see Mendy or Caballero, and then an hour before the game, Petr Cech lines up in front of them. So I would be all for that.
Most interesting thing, they've not put him on fantasy yet. They've not included him. What kind of price point would you be marking Premier League legend, all-time clean sheet record holder, Petr Cech? What price point would you give him at 38 and barely retired?
Well, I mean, he's got to be one of the more expensive goalkeepers, isn't he? I mean, I don't know what Kepa's is, but certainly more expensive than Kepa.
Yeah, I don't somewhere, think
somewhere in between, somewhere in between Mendy and Alisson, probably, I would say. I'm guessing Alisson's the most expensive.
Him and Ederson, if I'm correct.
Somewhere in between...
Mendy and Kepa cost the same as their initial price. They were both 5 million. I'd imagine, though, Kepa has significantly decreased since then, but I could be.
I would love to know what percentage of people actually have Kepa in their team and why.
No, I'm more interested to know why more than how many people are, to be honest. I will have a quick look at that, actually. I'll just come on to our final co-host while I do. He's making a return. He's not been on for a few weeks, but we're happy to have him back. Raph Boyd.
1.1%
1.1%
of people have Kepa Arifa Balaga in their fantasy football team.
One out of 100. One out of every 100 people.
Sick individuals.
Are clinically insane, clearly. Raph, it's good to have you back, mate. How are you?
Oh, it's good to be back. It's been a while. Just wanted to get back on.
What about this week in particular made you want to jump on and speak your thoughts?
Well, I played my wildcard, Jack.
You did? You've told me this, actually.
I've been doing all right so far. You know, in our small little league, I was third. In the bigger league, I was 15th. But I really want to. I want to get up there. I'm trying to jump Jamie.
Oh.
In the table, not in real life. But, you know.
Just the next time you see him, just absolutely rush him.
By the way, that'd be some effort if you can jump Jamie. The boy's like
if you can jump over Jamie, then you've got some leap on you. I'd be wildly impressed. We're going to get on to our first segment, of course, the premium picks. This is the three big games of this weekend. And I'm starting with a bit of an interesting one, to be honest. Friday night's game, today's game, 8 p.m. Aston Villa take on Leeds at Villa Park. In the last fixtures, Villa ran out 1-0 winners away at Leicester, while Leeds lost 1-0 at home to Wolves. I only really kind of brought this up because I was struggling to think of the kind of three biggest games, but Struan highlighted it as his game of the week on yesterday's edition of Extra Time. Taylor, can we see why he would highlight such a game like this, where on the face of it, with the two teams kind of almost associated with being lower down the table, it seems a bit of a wild shout?
I think we just need to look back to the last time they met. You had that iconic Bielsa telling the Leeds to let them score after the Leeds proceeding to score when I think it was Costner was down injured and just mayhem erupted. So I'm pretty sure that was the last time that they played. I could be wrong.
You're right.
So that's going to be interesting. Obviously, no fans are there, but that was. I can see the fact is you've got a team who are on the up and basically somehow winning 4 out of 4, including 7-2 against Liverpool. Van Dijk was nowhere to be seen.
And he will no longer be anywhere to be seen this season.
We can look back and that could be like the down. This is the downfall of Van Dijk now, after that. Nah, but in all seriousness, Aston Villa have just been, one word, immense. But they're not even been like playing attractive football. They remind me, I'm not saying they're going to do it, but they remind me of Leicester City when they were in the league. Just getting the job done.
That's another clip. That's another same clip right there.
That's a bold. No. Bold
that's two. That's shit. 2 in 2 days, Taylor. No. Come on.
I didn't mean that one.
You're a wee bit nervous.
I'll take it back. I'm going to take that back just in case. But, they look like they're really good getting the job done. Ross Barkley is turning into actually a half decent player for Villa. And then you've got Leeds who, at the start of the season, I said that Bielsa style might not work.
You did? Aye, you were adamant on that.
I'm slowly but surely coming to the realisation that I may have been somewhat the opposite of right.
Just a bit.
You being wrong? We've never seen that in this show before.
No, I'm not going to admit I'm wrong, because I'm not wrong, but I was just the opposite of right.
Right, okay.
So, they're really impressive to watch, but the last time getting beat off of Wolves, where it was a very tight game, but Wolves obviously came out top. I think this is interesting. I can see why it's a game of the weekend. It's where history and basically it's goals written all over it. So announce 0-0.
Announce 0-0 right now. We'll get on to definite predictions in a wee minute. Jamie, I want to talk to you about a man that's really been stepping up big time for Villa so far this season. We've seen a lot more of him over the last couple of weeks as he's been playing in the heart of the midfield for Steve Clarke's Scotland side, John McGinn. Now, he came back to Villa after he came back from injury for the Project Restart games and really didn't hit the heights that he had in the early season where he was one of the kind of top midfielders in the league. But now, after having him fully fit and now fully match fit, it's almost like a new signing for Villa, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, there's something about this Aston Villa team, and particularly kind of going forward, they do seem to play a really effective system. And, you know, look, McGinn slots into that perfectly. But for me, I think the addition of Ross Barkley, we said it when they signed him, and we said that we were, I think it was yourself, Jack, you said that you would rather Chelsea had got rid of Loftus-Cheek instead of maybe Barkley.
But I did, yeah. Turns out they got rid of both.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Barkley he scored a cracking goal at Leicester on Monday night there, but I think there's something about that Villa midfield, and then obviously they've signed Watkins, who's a proven goal scorer in the division below anyway. Whether he could make the step up still remains to be seen, but I think it looks pretty good so far. And even if Watkins doesn't score 20 goals, he might create goals for guys like Grealish and Barkley in behind him. But, you know, McGinn and Douglas Luiz, McGinn is a bit more of an attacking midfielder than Douglas Luiz, but they both seem to give Barkley and Grealish that freedom to go forward a bit more. And, you know, McGinn's got a bit of drive about him, and he's very good at protecting the ball. He always seems to be very good at getting his body in the way of man and ball and protecting the ball and ultimately keeping possession for his team by doing so. But you're certainly right. I mean, I think there's a lot of players last season when Project Restart came back and a lot of teams that didn't quite live up to expectations. So I'm not sure you could really fault him too much for that, because I think a lot had obviously happened in the players' regime in these unprecedented times, obviously, that players weren't really equipped to deal with. But now he's come back and Villa have come back, and they're top of the league, I think, are they not?
Yeah, top of the league, four wins out of four.
You can't ask for anything more than that, really. So I'm really intrigued to see how they get on. And I've just gone back to Struan's point anyway. Hearts are playing tonight, obviously, so my attention will be on that game. Mm-hmm. However, if Hearts weren't playing tonight, I know this is box office, but if Hearts weren't playing tonight, I would have been pretty tempted to pay for this game because I do see goals in it. And I'm very intrigued to see how it pans out, actually, because I think two teams that play, not Villa anyway last season, but two teams that certainly this season are playing very attractive football and, mm-hmm. and pretty exciting to watch. So I'm really quite intrigued to see how this game pans out this evening. So
you'd pay the box office?
Wait, it's this
one. I would be tempted anyway. I would be tempted.
Jamie.
I would just like to say, actually, I said Villa were top of the league. They're not top of the league, actually. Everton are top of the league, according to...
By a point, yeah. Villa have got the game in hand, absolutely.
Yeah. So this one's on box office?
This one's BT Sport box office tonight.
Here we go. I'm watching the Hearts game. I ain't paying 15 quid for that.
For legal reasons, I will not be paying the money nor looking at a dodgy stream. Just to get that out there right now.
If you don't fancy watching the Hearts game tonight, the Nottingham Forest derby is also on tonight. I think that'll be a decent watch as well.
Oh, that's
possibly a better watch than Hearts are, bro.
Quite possibly. You'll need to check to see how we get on when we get to 7:45. Raf, just to turn it on Leeds for a minute. They suffered their first loss since the opening day against Wolves last week. But they've had a pretty decent start other than that. I mean, they were praised for the way they could rip through that Liverpool team in the opening fixture. And then a leaky defence aside, they did manage to outscore Fulham before holding their own against a sub on Sheffield United side before getting the breakthrough. And then there was, of course, the student versus master clash between Bielsa and Guardiola with the spoils being shared. How do we see them also coming into this game? Not only that, but potentially the rest of the season, as they kind of have a lot of the kind of bigger teams still to play in the kind of lead up to Christmas. They've got Leicester and Arsenal within the next 3 weeks, and then away trips to Everton and Chelsea finish off November.
I think they are probably the most impressive newly promoted team I've seen in quite a few years. They're playing so bravely. They're really going for it. When they play Liverpool, you could argue that the reason they didn't draw is because they gave away a very sloppy penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And with the City game, do you know how hard it is to actually match City with intensity and with, like, you know, tactical prowess and all that? It helps that they have literally got one of the best managers in the Premier League at the moment. Like, Bielsa is amazing. I don't like the things that Taylor said about him. it made me very upset. But they've also got a lot of good players, a lot of committed players. They haven't got, like, the most talented team on paper in lots of respects. But, you know, when does that really stop a team from beating another team that I've got, you know, this player that costs this much and this player that costs this much? I think they're a more dangerous team to play against than, say, United or Chelsea, if I'm being honest with you.
Definitely.
I think because of that kind of the bit of the unknown as well, these Premier League sides won't have faced this Bielsa Leeds side ever, and they don't really know how to combat it.
Yeah, I can see, you know, Premier League defenders doing more research on Timo Werner and Anthony Martial than they will on, like, Patrick Bamford, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this sort of element of underestimating them. Like, I think that's what Liverpool did, and that's why Liverpool only just beat them.
Yeah.
And I think maybe as you get far more into the season, once teams start to, you know, understand their level, maybe they'll find it harder. I mean, they were, like, held by Wolves. Wolves beat them 1-0. They just sort of stopped them from attacking well, but, you know, I think Bielsa can definitely switch it up when things get stagnant.
No, absolutely. And the thing is about Leeds as well, they've got players coming in. They've still got players to come in because Pablo Hernandez made his first appearance off the bench this season against Wolves. New wide man from Rennes, Rafinha, who looks to be a really good signing, he made his first appearance off the bench as well in that Wolves game. And they also signed Diego Llorente as another defensive option from Real Sociedad just towards the end of the transfer window. So it's still a team that can build and really put out a pretty threatening team when you think about it, all things considered.
And the players they sign in summer, like Robin Koch, Helder Costa, Jack Harrison on loan, like, they're all doing really well as well.
Mm-hmm.
Rodrigo's stagnated a little bit. He's the only one that's a bit of a doubt, but when you've got Patrick Bamford, you know, who needs Rodrigo?
That was what Marcelo Bielsa said to Jamie when Jamie so wholeheartedly backed Rodrigo to be one of the top signings of the summer.
I'm still not having he's a good striker. I'm still not having it, I'm sorry.
What, Bamford or Rodrigo?
Or Bamford?
No, Bamford. I'm not having it.
I don't think he's. It's like I said.
He's not getting you 25 goals a season, but he'll do a job.
He's working very hard when you watch him play. Like he's really like he's almost like dropping, doing like a Firmino sort of thing, and dropping really deep and collecting the ball and sort of that sort of stuff.
The difference is Bamford scored goals this season.
Yeah, true. I mean, he's doing what Bielsa wants, and that's all that really matters.
Well, I suppose when it comes down to the basics of it, you really do just need a player that will do what his manager wants.
Exactly.
Well, I think Rodrigo was actually playing that Wolves game in midfield, according to the lineup that I'm seeing. So, already a bit kind of getting shifted.
Leeds formations don't make any sense. they mean absolutely nothing.
I think that's just as well for teams that haven't experienced them before that they'll be concerned about that as well. I suppose another big doubt for Leeds, and amongst all the positivity, one big doubt: Calvin Phillips looks set to miss 6 weeks of action with an injury sustained. Jamie, how big a loss is that going to be for Bielsa?
I suppose the thing is, nobody really knows, because we've seen Phillips obviously so much now, and we know how crucial a part that he is with Leeds in the starting 11, but we haven't really seen Leeds without Calvin Phillips. So I suppose, to answer your question, you would think he would be massive, but I think it would be fair to say that we don't really know how big an impact it'll be, because we haven't really seen it before, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little bit of the unknown that we don't know. We just don't know how much of a miss Calvin Phillips is going to be, because we're so used to seeing him in the Leeds team. We don't really know what they're going to be like without him. So
mm-hmm. There's definitely another reason to watch this game tonight. So we'll get on to our predictions for this one. We'll get your predictions, we'll get the key player that's going to stand out, and we'll give you our FPL assets to potentially bring into your teams, just to give you a few ideas to think about before this 6:30 deadline, I think, because it's 90 minutes before the first kickoff of the weekend. So you get 6:30 to make up your minds on who's starting this weekend. Jamie, how do you see it panning out in this one?
I think I put it down for 2-2. Villa are favourites, the bookies, short price at home. We spoke about it quite a lot, home advantage now. Without the fans, we sort of question how much it means. I think it has potential to be a really end-to-end game with goals. I think the one thing for me that we speak about Aston Villa going forward, or I spoke about Aston Villa going forward, is they've really tightened up the defence. You know, they've shipped mm-hmm. two goals in the four games that they've played this season, and they're both to Liverpool. There's no shame in that.
No, not at all.
Teams will concede more to Liverpool this season. So I'm intrigued to see how the Villa defence gets on tonight against mm-hmm. a team like Leeds. We all know Liverpool were just a bit off that night. But I think we know that they've played, obviously that was a good result at Leicester, kept a clean sheet there, and clean sheets against Fulham and Sheffield United, who aren't really doing great for goals, certainly Sheffield United anyway. So I think this will tell us a bit more again about Aston Villa this season, and see where they're at. If they can come out and get a result tonight, get 3 points tonight, then I think that's a big statement.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, as Raf said, that I think a lot of people are impressed with Leeds since they've come up, and the style of play and all that, obviously. So, I don't know. I think there's an opportunity for Villa tonight to go and really stamp an authority here and say, like, you know, we can do it with the best. We beat Liverpool, we beat Leeds, and Leicester as well, obviously. So, you know, look, if on paper, if Villa get a result tonight and say they've beaten Leicester, Leeds and Liverpool in the opening five games of the season, then, you know, you wouldn't really write them off getting a top six, top five. I wouldn't anyway. So I've put it down for a 2-2 though. I don't think they will get 3 points tonight.
And who's your key man in this one?
I put it down for Ollie Watkins. Obviously, somebody that you mentioned, Jack. I think he'll give the Leeds defence something else to think about tonight. And I think the Leeds defence is still going to be without Liam Cooper.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's certainly a doubt anyway. So we'll see. But I've put it down for Ollie Watkins and a 2-2.
Taylor, how about yourself? How are you seeing this one go?
So I think this was going to be, I said there's going to be goals in this, so I've went for 2 each. No, I haven't, sorry. I've went for 3-2 Villa. I knew there was goals in this somewhere. I can see Villa edging this way, but mm-hmm. I think it's going to be the last 10, maybe 5 minutes. I can see Villa popping up to get a winner. It's going to be highly entertaining, and it's all the points Jamie said. It's just basically Leeds are without a few players. We don't know how they will be without them, but also Villa have just been Villa this season, and Ollie Watkins is still not saying he's proven his price tag, because I think that was still astronomical for a championship player. But he's proven he's actually...
He's on the way to proving it.
He'll prove he's a better striker than Bamford in this game. Like, he'll prove that easily.
You're full of the big shouts today. I like this. I'm a big fan of this.
I'm not. Bamford's not a good striker. I'm not having it.
He scored three goals in four games, Taylor.
Watkins has got 3 goals in one game.
Yeah, I'm not saying Watkins isn't a good striker though. They can both.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's better than Bamford.
I think. Would you say that Bamford should score more with the chances that?
Oh yeah, 100%.
So I don't know what the XG would be for somebody like Bamford, but certainly last season as well seemed to see him miss quite a lot of chances.
Oh yeah,
and I think maybe where Taylor's coming from is the fact that, you know, if you get 20 chances. You know, in three games or something, then you're going to put at least a few of them away eventually.
He's a poor man's Morelos. That's what I'm telling him. Like, Morelos misses chances, he misses chances, but, you know.
Bamford. So you're saying Bamford's a poor man's Morelos, but you love Morelos?
Yeah, I love Morelos, yes.
So why do you not have the same love for Bamford?
Because Bamford misses chances more than Morelos. I've got an agenda I'm sticking with here. Don't try to prove me wrong here.
Right, let me ask you one thing. You put Bamford on that Rangers team, does he score against Celtic?
Oh, 100%, probably. It probably will disappear.
So why are you saying who else is better then?
No, because no, I'm not saying he would, but I'm just saying I just know for a fact.
You just said he would. No.
You also said you think Bamford's a bad player. That's what you said.
What I mean was, if you did have to do that, he probably would, just to prove me wrong, but. I don't think he would, no. Deep down, no, I don't think he would. But my moral story is Ollie Watkins is a better striker. I nearly said Morelos there. Oh my god, Bamford, but the key man in this is going to be the one that's pulling the strings, hitting the pings. It's going to be
Patrick Bamford.
Jack Grealish, you say?
Yeah, Jack Grealish, 100%. Okay. That man's a machine. And some people saying that Villa, he's holding Villa back. It's just, that's shocking. Like, oh,
you're not happy with back. That.
I did see
what Taylor's talking about, to be fair, and I kind of questioned it a bit as well. But
it's like, apparently he's too selfish and all that, and it's like, that man's dragged Villa to safety last season. Like,
literally, it was his goal that kept him off on the last day.
So stupid, man. Some people don't appreciate what they've got until... as soon as he leaves, by the way, they'll miss him so much.
Right, I'll just to take it away from that, I told Sean on Monday that you give Taylor anything to speak about, and even if he has no idea what he's talking about, you'll deliver it passionately, and we've just seen another example of that happening right there. Raph, we'll come to you. What's your thoughts on this game? How do you think it's going to finish?
I'm the same as Jamie. I think it's going to be a 2-2. If I had to give it to one of them to edge it, I'd say Villa as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, I don't know, but how big a miss is Calvin Phillips going to be? That's the question, because no one really knows, Jamie said.
It's untested, yeah.
And I can see them being evenly matched teams. Obviously, Villa have started a lot better than, they've started better than Leeds.
Mm.
But no, I'd say 2-2s for Jack Grealish, star man.
There we go. For me, I'm giving Villa the edge in this one. I'm saying 2-1 to Villa. And the reason I'm saying that is because I still think the Leeds defence is pretty unproven, which is understandable for coming up from the Championship, but even the acquisitions they've made, Robin Koch, I don't think he's really settled into life all too well. In the Premier League, he had a nightmare of a debut against Liverpool, as we all know. But maybe Diego Llorente, if he starts without Liam Cooper being available, that could potentially shore things up a bit. I'm going to give it to John McGinn for my key player here. I think he's going to be a standout performer once again. He's been in a very good spell of form, and I think him holding down the midfield and then advancing towards the likes of Barkley and Grealish and Watkins, I think it's going to be a routine McGinney-esque performance from our top man in midfield. Just to make you aware of a couple of those kind of bigger FPL assets we were talking about, Watkins is a very decent price for the goals that he gets at £6 million up front. Emi Martinez, he's seen his price rise since he started playing for Villa. He started on 4.5, sorry, he's already up at 4.8. So if you want a cheaper keeper for the bench to rotate, then Emi Martinez are probably one of the best. Another player I'm going to highlight just before we move on is that Rafinha that Leeds have signed. £14 million from Rennes, a wide player at £5.5 million. And I think if he does start, he does have the technical ability and the speed and the skill to be able to break down what has been proving to be a very stubborn Aston Villa defence so far. We'll move on and we will start discussing the second game of our premium picks, and it's the big one for me this weekend. It's the one I'm probably going to pay either the most attention to or the least attention to, depending on how I'm feeling at the time. Manchester United versus Chelsea, Saturday at half five at Old Trafford. It was interesting for interesting fortunes for both teams last time out. Manchester United left it very late to get a 4-1 win over Newcastle, but as soon as they got that late winner, they just added another two on top of it as the Magpies capitulated. Whereas Chelsea saw a bit of a capitulation themselves in terms of defence as they let Southampton equalise very late on to draw 3-3 at Stamford Bridge. The kind of biggest thing coming into this one, both coaches have really been under fire just in general for the last few weeks. But Raf, I feel like I'm going to come to you and I know exactly what you're going to say because we've had conversations about it. Which manager out of Lampard and Solskjaer is more deserving of the criticism they've been receiving?
Lampard.
I mean, I agree.
Yeah. I don't like Solskjaer. I mean, I don't dislike him. I dislike Lampard a little bit, but I don't dislike Solskjaer. Neither of them are at the level to be where they are right now. They don't. It's not where they belong. But Lampard is just... he's going to get fired before the end of the season, and he's going to be remembered for like four things, all right? He gave youth a chance. He nearly started a fight with Jurgen Klopp. He dropped all the youth once he got some money. And then, I don't know, predictably he'll get like knocked out in the semi-finals of some tournament, and then he'll get sacked.
I'm going to contest the point you just made, because he's dropped a couple of players in favour of new blood.
He's not dropped all.
But yet, no matter how many good players are fit, but Mason Mount still gets in the squad.
He's dropped the young players, apart from one guy who we can't beat. This guy,
it's transcended at the Southgate as well.
Domestically and internationally, this man cannot be beaten, and he lives in my mind rent free.
Mason Mount lives in your mind rent free. I'm sure. As I'm sure he'd be happy to hear that, because as we know, every player in the Premier League listens to this show, and he will be very happy to know he's got a safe bit of accommodation up in your mind.
You're not a bad player, Mason. You're a good player, but you're not better than Jack Grealish.
We've just moved off the point from Chelsea entirely. This is your England bias coming in.
You shouldn't have brought him up. This is your fault.
Oh, it's my fault. Right, okay. I don't think it is, but I'll just take that. I'll take those thoughts and leave them be. We'll have a look at the big man that's been making a lot of waves on and off the pitch. Once again, for Manchester United, Marcus Rashford, his actions for providing school meals for the less fortunate children down in England have been absolutely incredible. He's been awarded an MBE for his services, and he's not taking that sitting down. He's taken that and he's brushed it aside, and he's just continuing to batter away at these government policies and trying his best to be able to get all those kids free meals. On top of that, he's also really stepped up in the last couple of games. He had, if I'm right, he had more shots than anyone against Newcastle, and he came up big once again against PSG in this week's Champions League fixture, scoring the winner late on like he did a couple of years ago. Jamie, how do we see Rashford kind of play in the next few games, especially with Martial still out in his more natural position of number 9? Do we see him bagging a few more goals over the next few weeks?
Yeah, definitely. He's my key player for the weekend, actually. I've put it down for my favourite scoreline of 1-1. I really wanted to go with a 2-1 United win, though, but I just couldn't do it. Fancied to actually just about cling on to some optimism in terms of Chelsea.
It's hard to do these days.
I know, I just think Rashford is wasted out wide. And absolutely. To be honest with you, I'm not a huge fan of Martial, and I never really have been. He just blows too hot and cold for me, right? And I think when you've got someone like Rashford, you need to play him through the middle. And for me, it's relatively similar to Arsenal's problem with Aubameyang. I hate it when Arsenal play Aubameyang out wide and play Lacazette through the middle. I just hate seeing Aubameyang out wide, and it's relatively similar for Rashford. Fair enough if you're playing somebody who's better in the other position, but for me, Aubameyang is better than Lacazette.
Oh yeah,
so play him striker, and Rashford is better than Martial, so play him striker. That's their best position, so why don't you play them in it?
I think Rashford's been getting shipped out wide, kind of for club level and internationally, to accommodate players, because internationally he's
England are understandable. Make that point there. England are understandable. On club level, I just don't understand.
Oh, no, Martial, I do agree. I'm with you on that.
Get preference.
I'm with you on that. I mean,
I don't rate Martial that highly either, to be honest with you.
Yeah. He's just too inconsistent for me.
I mean, what is it? He's just hit, or he recently just hit 50 goals for Man United in about 5 seasons.
Yeah,
it's not exciting, is it?
As a number, as getting played as a number 9, you would be expecting that to be higher.
He scored one goal for France in, I think, 23 appearances. You know what I mean? His highest return in one season is 17 goals. He's not, you know.
That kind of, was that in England or was that somewhere else?
What, in 17? It was last season, England.
Oh, last season, England. Well, he seems to be trying to get better anyway, which, but I know, I do agree. I think Rashford should be playing through the middle for that United team regardless. I think you just get more of a poacher's instinct than Martial, and Martial could probably do a better job on the wing, to be honest. I could see him being more of a creative player than a out-and-out striker, but that's just the opinion of three guys talking on a podcast, which, as we know, does not pay the bills a lot of the time. Taylor, just a quick look at Chelsea before we get onto these predictions. They've been inconsistent, is to say the least, over the last couple of weeks, but coming into this one, they probably have their strongest squad to date at this point in the season. Chilwell looks to have nailed down his position at left back. Edouard Mendy has already assured himself as Frank Lampard's number one. Thiago Silva's back from a minor kind of knock that kept him out of the Southampton game. Christian Pulisic is fully fit. He started against Southampton. Hakim Ziyech made his debut off the bench. And Werner and Havertz, of course, last week scored their first Premier League goals, with both of Werner's being very well taken. Is there reason to be optimistic for Chelsea at the moment, or is it, should we just keep our expectations low because it's away against Manchester United?
I feel like it probably is right, the fact that expectations should be somewhat low, but I did say that as soon as Chelsea started getting their full team back, like as in they're probably their strongest team, that's when we'll see them see at their best. I can generally see that Chelsea actually get a positive result out of this.
What is a positive result at this point? Because realistically, the way Chelsea season been going, the only positive result they can take away is a win.
See, that's what I'm saying. I can see this being like a positive performance and results. I can see winning this 2-1. And with Pulisic now back fully fit, who it was incredible at the end of Project Restart last season. With Chilwell now looking nailed on, he's actually had three involvements and goals since he's actually came into the side in two games or three games. He's looking like a solid player. Thiago Silva, I'm convinced that he'll actually mould Zuma into probably an unreal centre back, learning off of him. That should be a partnership, by the way, that would thrive. Reece James just probably, I think he will turn into a really good player. Just he needs to work on his defending, but. Well, you've got Ziyech even coming in, make his debut, and then you've got the likes of Werner getting off to a good scoring start now, eventually. So I think it all looks good, by the way, for Chelsea. Now they've got all these players coming in, Lampard now has the squad that he could probably pick at his strongest, and I just think it looks good. Although I understand that Chelsea fans are a wee bit negative because of what they've seen, but on the outside looking in, it looks like now they're actually getting a team that they want, and this could be them going on the ascendancy. I'm saying that. Obviously, you've got like Man United that's coming in to this way, probably off a decent result in Paris. So it could be either way, and I'm going to go 2-1 Chelsea, as I said, and it's going to be a convincing performance for Chelsea.
Can I just quickly butt in there? You raised a few good points there, Taylor, but ultimately football is a results basis. Chelsea are sitting eighth in the league right now. They're on 8 points. They've won two of the first five games. And, you know, look, they've conceded 3 goals to West Brom, 3 goals to Southampton. And that, like, ultimately, you know, that's not really good enough. They've scored 13 goals, so that's the same as Liverpool. So, you know, I'm sure not to anybody's surprise, Chelsea, the problems aren't going forward. You know, no. They are in defence as they were last season. So, you know, ultimately, as there are plenty of positives to take, and there are plenty of things to be impressive going forward for Chelsea looking in. But ultimately, it just seems a bit like deja vu. And the fact that maybe we thought we'd rectified the issues that we had last season. Taylor, me and you were both very optimistic for Chelsea's chances going into the season, but you know, I'm starting to think now that it's just going to be relatively similar, and I honestly think they could probably miss out on the top four if they don't improve defensively, because the league is much stronger than it was last season. Teams like Tottenham look brilliant. Okay, yes, they managed to spectacularly bottle a free goal lead at the weekend, but you know, I don't know. I just think teams like Tottenham anyway. And, you know, who knows where Aston Villa and Everton and that finish. You know, I wouldn't be putting any money on Chelsea finishing above them at the moment because they can't defend.
I agree with you, Jamie. I considering that Chelsea have had their defensive problems in the past, but can we really take this season on defensive performances? Like, look at the champions that won the league with a canter. They conceded 70 at Aston Villa, who, as we know, basically just stayed up. So I think fans not being able to play a massive performance, and keeping clean sheets, by the way, is a good bit of rarity this season, and keeping goals below, I'd say even two, like goals, like matches where it's like over under two goals, it's going to be probably up there with like your average, that's probably going to be your average probably goal scoring, where it's like about two, three, four goals a game. So it's just got, this is going to be a season where you've got to have to generally outscore the other team, and I don't know if that's down to the fact that the fans are not there, where people are just now getting more slack. I don't know. So I think generally Chelsea having such a good attacking lineup could actually be beneficial for this season and all seasons.
You're right. I mean, there have been a lot of goals in the Premier League, but ultimately Wolves have scored five goals in five games and they sit above Chelsea.
I mean, it does come down to it. It is just about points on the board rather than goals scored.
I appreciate you need to score goals, but ultimately you need to keep them out. And I think a lot of the time, if you're a new manager coming in, sometimes you need to rectify the defensive problems first. And if you can get that sorted, then you worry about scoring goals. Because if you try and defend from the front, if you like, and try and tighten up at the back, then you've got a better chance of at least picking up a point if it's nil-nils and that. Chelsea have done the opposite, really, and have strengthened going forward in an attempt to outscore the opposition, I think. But look, if you concede three goals to West Brom, three goals to Southampton, you're not really going to do an awful lot.
No, I do agree.
No matter how many goals you score.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. The one positive that might come away from this, potentially with the team selection for this game, is that in the both fixtures that Thiago Silva and Edouard Mendy have played together, they've kept a clean sheet. So there could be good in this Chelsea defence yet, but it's not been tested well enough together to be able to prove any of those doubters wrong. We'll get on to some predictions for this one before we move on to our final of our premium picks. Raf, how do we see it panning out?
Just to echo sort of what Jamie said, I've not been impressed with Chelsea like really at all this season. Obviously, you score a lot of goals, but you have quality attackers. It's about how you defend. But no, I'd say I can see United winning this one 3-1, I think. I've not been blown away with United either. They're a pretty poor team, but I just feel like, say what you want about Ollie, but he at least has had more time than Lampard to know what he's doing at this point. I think Lampard just seems kind of lost when he's playing against a team that he can't just outplay on pure ability, if that makes any sense.
No, it does.
Do you think he's out of his depth?
Do what?
Do you think he's out of his depth?
Yeah, I definitely do. I have, basically, since like the first few months he was at Chelsea. He's made some huge signings. He's got some fantastic players. But if you look at the results, you beat Brighton, fair play. You beat Palace, fair play. But the ones where you get even a bit of trouble from teams like Southampton and West Brom, and of course Liverpool, it's not just that you don't play brilliantly. You just sort of collapse into yourselves. You didn't try against Liverpool, and there's no, you know, as good as say Danny Ings is for Southampton, there's no reason to give away like a 2-goal lead. Unless you're Tottenham, obviously, then you give away three. But it's just that, if Chelsea start strongly, I can see them going on to win the game. But I think United are more likely to start strongly, and I think Chelsea would just implode in themselves.
Jamie, how about yourself? I mean, you've said 1-1. And what made you stop? What made you stop from making that a United win, as you mentioned?
I don't know, maybe just heart rule in the head. There's nothing for me to suggest a Chelsea win. I could be wrong, but I'm not sure it's a particularly happy hunting ground for us in recent times. Raf's right, United aren't a particularly impressive team this season, but I think that Chelsea are just as bad, or have just as many weaknesses, you like, as United. I think both teams have frailties in certain areas of the pitch, and I think both teams could exploit each other's frailties. But that's why I've split it down the middle and 1-1. I do think it could go either way, but I certainly wouldn't be sticking my neck on the line saying that Chelsea are going to win this game, because there's a lot to suggest that they won't.
No, I'm with you. I don't. I'm not going to put my neck on the line and say that Chelsea are going to win, because that's not what I'm predicting. I'm predicting a draw, but I'm predicting 2-2, because I've just not been impressed by either team's defence, to be honest. I mean, say all you want about Chelsea's defence, but then when Harry Maguire's putting in a one-man capitulation against Tottenham by hauling Luke Shaw at the ground, who himself has been very, very average. That kind of says it all. I mean, I just don't rate that United defence whatsoever. For a United defence that has had some of the best centre-back pairings in Premier League history to what they have now, it's ridiculous for the size of the club they are. They really should have the highest quality defenders available to them. But that's just the way football is at the moment. I do think Paul Pogba's going to play a massive role in this one if he plays, because I think he will have an absolute field day against that fairly naive and more attacking Chelsea defence, because if he can just skip through a number of midfielders, we all know he does have a killer pass on him that could just slip someone like Rashford through to deliver a finishing blow. So it's a 2-2, but more leaning towards United 2-2, which is more negative of me than I normally am about Chelsea. But that's just what I'm thinking anyway. And Taylor, you were going... you made a prediction. Remind me of it, though.
I went with 2-1 Chelsea. I said it could be a convincing performance for Chelsea. Struan has highlighted that Man United are very inconsistent this season, and I'm going to go with him, because Struan's negativity usually means he's right when he's talking about Man United. Honestly, I don't know where I'm getting this belief from. I just don't see Man United they put everything at PSG game with Marcus Rashford not only dominating that game, he's just basically made that PSG stadium his own. Like, he just loves sticking.
Loves Parc des Princes.
He just loves it. It's his stadium. It's a guy named after him when he retires because of everything he's done in it. Probably same with number 10 Downing Street. He's got to be known as Marcus Rashford Downing Street. I don't know. I tried to make something of that, and I've crumbled. I've made myself look, I don't know. But anyway, I don't see them actually putting a convincing performance in after that midweek game, and I can honestly see Chelsea coming away with a positive result, with a 2-1 win. And I'm going to actually give the goal scorers, because I probably will be wrong anyway.
So go on, give us goal scorers then. Give us all three goal scorers.
Full shebang. Pulisic and... I'm going to go with Pulisic, and Thiago Silva is going to get a goal.
Thiago Silva's getting out to the corner.
Thiago's getting a goal, right.
I wouldn't be annoyed.
Before you move on from this game, because we have spoken about Chelsea for a long time again this episode. But I think that, you know, United did go to the Parc des Princes during the week, and they were the better team.
Yeah.
And Chelsea could never do that right now.
No.
They just wouldn't go away from home and dominate a game in Europe like that. You know, United should have won far more comfortably than by this solitary goal that they did. Chelsea would never do that right now. And that is why I would fancy United to win more than Chelsea.
Yeah. No, that's the most shocking thing for me was it was a 0-0 draw with Sevilla at home in a game that saw Sevilla have 63% of the possession.
Yeah.
So we can't even dominate a European tie at home.
Uninspiring. Very uninspiring.
I'm just thinking about what Taylor said. Would they not rename the street rather than take away the number?
That's what I meant. I crumbled rather than
What we are going to do, that is decided in the title of the episode. We're calling episode 6 Marcus Rashford Downing Street. There we go. Thanks for that, Taylor. That's the biggest contribution you've had today. Finally, before we move on to our wildcard options, we are going to talk about our last game of our premium picks, which is Arsenal versus Leicester, our 7:15 kickoff on Sunday night at the Emirates. Last week saw losses for both teams, 1-0 losses for both teams, in fact, at the hands of Manchester City and Villa, respectively. Raph, I wanted to come to you with this one. Jamie's already touched on it, but Aubameyang's been playing realistically out of position and has not seen any real goal involvement, apart from one, I believe, in the opening day against Fulham so far in the league this season. Is it time for Arteta to sack off Lacazette and play Aubameyang in his natural position?
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm getting a good feeling that he is going to do it quite soon. I think he's been given Lacazette a chance and been trying things out. But I do think it's going to end up being a front three of Aubameyang in the middle, Saka on the left and Pepe out wide, on the right, which I think is a fantastic front three.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not scoring enough goals. We've scored 8 goals in 5 games. The only team that's scored less in the top 10 so far are Wolves, who've scored 5. It's just, we have players who are capable of scoring more than that. And we've been
I've got a simple answer how to fix that.
Is it just play Aubameyang?
No.
What?
You know, don't drop your most creative player from the entire squad.
Yeah, I know. Something's going
justice
on.
Justice for Ozil. Justice for Ozil.
Yeah, I've also got to apologise to the listeners. He should not have been my
my
bargain pick.
So say that, didn't you?
Well, I didn't think it was going to end up like this, but yeah, I don't know what happens. Personally, for me, I'd play Willian through the middle because he's a great creative player, and it saves his legs a lot.
I don't know if I'd say great creative player, but
he's probably the best creative player we have now that Ozil isn't playing. You know what I mean? I'd say he's a more central creative player than Ceballos. You know what I mean?
Fair. Okay, that's fine. So I want to also ask you, like, how you see this midfield going for Arsenal, just with the inclusion of Thomas Partey, of course, coming in. Is it going to be a kind of pivot of him and Ceballos, or how do you see it lining up?
We've got lots of options, which I think is a good thing. I think it goes without saying Partey's starting now. And I think it'll be him, like Partey, Xhaka and Ceballos. I think, like you said, just sort of spinning around constantly.
you've made that sound quite comical, spinning around.
Just like a wind turbine, just always switching around. Because I wouldn't say either of those three are particularly creative players, but they can do a decent job defending and attacking.
Yeah.
So I think it will just be sort of like them going up and down.
Fair enough. No, that's fair enough. The Arsenal wind turbine,
that's
up there as well. Jamie, just with this Leicester side as well, they've had a fairly inconsistent start to the season, not really had the best run of results. And of course, that 1-0 loss to Villa late on was just the kind of tip of the iceberg of the problems just now. Is it really just down to the lack of strength and depth that they have because they were missing a lot of their kind of key names from that Villa game, or is it something else entirely?
I don't know. I mean, you're right about the Villa game, but I think we've seen the good, the bad and the ugly of Leicester this season. I think a lot depends, for this fixture anyway, if Jamie Vardy's going to be back, because I would really fancy Leicester actually to go and get 3 points here away from home if Jamie Vardy's back, because I think they'd be able to set up similar to the way they did at the Etihad, and I could see them having just the same success as they did at the Etihad. I'm not particularly impressed with this Arsenal defence. I'm not sure too many people are.
Well, I'd like to stop you there, Jamie. Because
are you impressed with this Arsenal defence?
Oh no,
or
I'm
more
not.
So than you were.
I'm not blown away, but we have conceded the second least amount of goals in the league this season. We've only conceded six.
Six goals, yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and we've played City and Liverpool and so much.
Free to Liverpool,
goals.
Certainly. Yeah, free to Liverpool. Yeah. You're right. But so, I mean, conceded to the only team you've kept a clean sheet against though is Fulham.
Hey, I'm not saying it's fantastic. I'm just saying that seeing that we are somehow managing to have to play David Luiz every single game, it could be worse.
No, it could be a lot worse. And I think the defence has improved with the signing of Gabriel. But I think I don't know. I could see Leicester causing you a few more problems here, much like they did to Man City. And I think a lot depends on if Vardy is fit enough to start. Fantasy says he's a 75% chance to play.
I hope he doesn't. He loves scoring against us.
I know, he's got a good record. Mm-hmm. And the game in Project Restart, I distinctly remember Fancy and Arsenal at home to Leicester. And they were a goal up, but Leicester dominated the second half and they did eventually get the equaliser.
Well, we had them until Nketiah got sent off.
Of course, that's right. You did go down 10, didn't you? It was a dodgy VAR red card, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right enough.
Going back to your original question, Jack, I've been sidetracked there by Raf going on about the Arsenal defence. I think that Leicester have every chance, and I think a lot depends on if Vardy starts, as I say. I've put it down for a 2-1 Leicester, and if Vardy starts, I think he will be crucial to their chances. I think my key player is actually Perez. I've put my key player
Jose Perez. Okay.
Jose Perez.
Always seems to be a kind of forgotten name in that Leicester team, Perez, doesn't he?
Yeah, he is a bit in and out, isn't he? But yeah. I mean, obviously Maddison played during the week there, and it's the first time I've kind of seen Maddison for a while.
A while, yeah. He was out injured, I believe.
Yeah, he's been a bit unfortunate with injuries, I think, so far this season. Maddison seems to have had a few niggles and not really been able to nail down a starting spot. So I think if Maddison's still not quite getting in there, then I think Ayoze Perez has got every chance to try and stamp his authority on the starting 11.
Absolutely. Taylor, just before we quickly move on, I just wanted to touch on Al Vardy a wee bit there as well. Jamie made the point that he does have a good record in these kind of games and he is a big miss, but Leicester tend to have a fairly decent record against the bigger sides, particularly Arsenal and Manchester City over the last couple of years. How do we see it going? Are we giving Leicester a chance even without Vardy?
Ooh, that's a tough one because I've actually put down most of Brendan Rodgers' success at Leicester down to his revitalisation of basically Vardy up front. He's actually made a... What age is Vardy? 34, 35?
33, what is he?
33. He's not as old as I thought he was a lot older, but he's made a 33-year-old look about 26 again. Like, gave him a new lease of energy and he's actually been sensational. He will be a massive miss and I don't think Ian Atchell will be a suitable replacement.
No, absolutely not.
Definitely can't even fill one in Jamie Vardy's boots, never mind them both. But Leicester do have a new, can you call him talisman? Because I think he plays in defence, or he plays in the right, but Castagna, I think he's been sensational for Leicester. Since he's came in, he's basically won everything to go forward. He's great to actually watch as well. Mm-hmm. He seems to just go straight in. He gets it. I don't even know what I'm trying to say with that. No.
So stop saying it then.
No, because what I'm trying to say is basically, he looks like he's actually a big, massive Leicester fan, because the way he's sitting shouting, basically trying to pull Harvey Barnes and all that in the position, he was sitting screaming at...
So he's displaying leadership traits then?
Yeah, he's displaying leadership traits even though he just joined, and it's honestly actually quite good to actually see somebody just coming in, just getting dug in straight away, not doing this bedding time in. So it's really enjoyable to watch. Also saying that, Harvey Barnes has been great this season. And I think he could play a big part if Leicester get something. But I think I put this down as a 2-1 draw? 1-1 draw? Wait, I'm trying to double check. 2-1 draw. Yeah, I couldn't remember what I put it down. Yeah, I put this in a 2-2 draw because both defences will concede that. Although Raf did say that Arsenal have conceded the second least amount of goals, I can see Leicester somehow, as you said, they do better against the bigger sides, but Harvey Barnes will probably be the one that takes the reins and try to drag Leicester to victory. I'm just going to shut up now because I'm rambling on.
Keep in mind, four minutes ago, I did ask Taylor just quickly before we move on. we've had predictions from Taylor and Jamie for this one. Raf, how about yourself? Are you backing Arsenal for a win?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I've got it down as a 1-1. I think it's one of those things. I think it'll be quite cagey. I don't think it'll be this like free scoring performance sort of thing, I think. But yeah, I think I can see a goal for each side, but I don't think it'll go much past that.
I've got it as a narrow 2-1 to Arsenal, I think.
Really?
Mm-hmm. No, I've just not really been impressed with Leicester. I mean, they just look lacklustre without their kind of biggest players and Jamie Vardy, and I really do believe that Ricardo Pereira has been one of the biggest misses for them this season. And with him really not making any headway of coming back anytime soon, it's just been highly problematic for them down that right-hand side. So,
who's your star man?
My star man for that, I've got Nico Pepe, to be honest.
Oh, good stuff.
I think this could be a really decent game for him. It could be another big game for him to prove his worth. And I did make a fancy pick in highlighted Bukayo Saka at 5.3 million. Because if Arteta is listening to this show, if managers listen to the show as well, and he takes Raf's suggestions on board, Saka could end up starting in that left wing role with Aubameyang through the middle, which is probably the best option that Arsenal have for a front three at the moment.
If you are listening, start Ozil.
just include him anyway.
Bring him back.
Pretend he's a new signing. Yeah. Just re-sign him from the club.
Just put like a fake moustache on him.
Announce him and Gunnar Solskjaer again beside each other. Please.
What a centre-back partnership that would be. That runs out the premium picks. We are just going to touch quickly onto the wildcard options before we come on to our locked in 11, which is our team of the week section. But for the first of the wildcard options, I picked out Fulham versus Crystal Palace, which might seem a bit of an odd one, but it's 3 p.m. on Saturday at Craven Cottage. Taylor, I picked this one because Palace were struggling against Brighton, who have also, like, they've looked good. We've spoken a lot about that. Could this be a good chance to for Fulham to get a win on the board?
Is that should Daylight Robbery at this? You have to pay for this match.
If Daylight Robbery, you have to pay £15 for any match when you're paying a subscription
this one,
anyway.
This one including, but this is going to be the most boring game ever. I'm not going to give this any credit whatsoever. You put down
there was no key player, didn't you?
Yeah, key player, none. That's who's going to be the key player, none. Honestly, this is a Brexit game of the week. I don't care.
This is Brexit game of the week,
yes,
okay.
I'm taking this because Fulham, atrocious, Crystal Palace, born equals no good game. Keep your £15, probably spend it on something else. I don't know, whatever you're into. Spend it on whatever you want. Just do not even bother watching this. If you're a fan of the game, don't watch it. Just listen to radio. That's all I'm saying about this game. That was quick.
Wow. All right, then. I swear, he's the most passionate member of the team, but you get passionate about everything.
But you're trying to tell me it's actually worth £15. I know it's...
No, I'm not saying it's that. I'm not saying it's worth £15 because no game is worth paying £15 for a one-off.
That game's not even worth a fiver. Honestly, they should be paying me to actually watch that.
Nah, Taylor's right.
He's right, but...
if I won the Euro Millions, I'd still probably give this one a miss, like...
You would absolutely. One that we might not want to give a miss is Southampton Everton, which is 2 p.m. on Sunday at St Mary's Stadium down on the south coast. It's a bit of a touch and go game at the moment, Jamie, for this one because we don't 100% know whether James Rodriguez is going to be out of this one. Reported a couple of days ago that he was missing for this weekend and this weekend only, but he's already returned to training and Ancelotti is optimistic about his inclusion. But say he misses out. And Richarlison's also out. Is Calvert-Lewin going to be less effective as a result?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we know Calvert-Lewin isn't really the creative spark. He's more the target man who can bring others into play. So we know that Richarlison is obviously missing because of his challenge in the derby. But I think, obviously, James Rodriguez has had a really good impact since he came in. I did have my doubts, as I think a lot of people probably did. And I think they were justified doubts. You know, I think the James Rodriguez did have questions to answer because he obviously did so well at that World Cup for
six years ago.
Yeah, and you hadn't really seen an awful lot of him at club level, really.
Nah.
I think would be fair to say he has.
Where was he at the time? Was it Monaco or Porto at that point in his career?
Monaco that he went to.
Monaco rings a bell.
He went to after. I think he joined after the World Cup. He was at Porto at the time. If I'm right.
Bundesliga team of the season in 2018.
Anyway,
like, you can't say he'd never really done it at a club level since then when he performed amazing at Bayern Munich. Sorry, that was a touchy subject for me. I'll mute myself.
I keep forgetting this is your
player.
Of course. No, I'm not slagging him off. Like, he obviously has hit the ground running, but I'm just saying that I think there was doubts and I think he's answered the critics certainly in the best possible way. So to answer your question, yeah, I think he's going to be a huge miss, and I think Southampton will win this. I've actually put it down as a Southampton win. I think 2-1. I'd said. I just think Everton could struggle without the key players today. Southampton are a bit inconsistent as well, though, and they've not got a particularly good home record. Southampton, so
no, they never
do. A game which has a few questions to answer, shall we say?
Yeah, it's going to be an intriguing one, especially to see whether James does play or not play. It was an absolute panic when I saw he was out, and I was like, "Oh no, who am I replacing?" Ended up bringing in a certain striker that I might come on to in the locked in 11. Raf, finally, I'm going to ask you about Brighton and West Brom.
Really,
I am, because it's a big match for both in terms of things. Because Brighton need points on the board to match the level of performance he's been putting in. West Brom just need points, full stop. So it's for both teams, it's a fairly high stakes game.
This is not the game I thought you were going to ask me about, Jack. But fair enough.
What did you think I was going to ask you about?
I thought you were going to ask me about Wolves Newcastle, but like, no, you're right. This is the money match. I don't know. West Brom are a very strange team this season. They were very impressive against Chelsea, Oh, I mean, or were they? Or were Chelsea just absolutely terrible?
Oh, no, I can confirm. Chelsea, Chelsea were terrible.
But they still scored 3 goals against Chelsea. They scored 2 goals against Everton. So, I don't know. And I really like Slaven Bilic. I hope the only team that I'm sort of like rooting to get absolutely nothing from this season, is Fulham, because I don't like Scott Parker that much. But I want West Brom to get some points on the board, and I'd say Brighton. It's not the hardest game they can get, but Brighton could surprise you.
I think this is Brighton's game. Surely that's why.
Would you say home win?
Home win, yeah.
Home win banger.
I wouldn't be too confident. I think you could, West Brom could surprise you. Who did they sign from West Ham?
Grady Dean Garner.
He looks a player.
He is a player, to be fair.
He gets a bit of form going, I think he could be really, really dangerous.
He's no match for Tariq. Tariq Lamptey is going to have this game on lock. I'm telling you that right now.
Oh, I forgot that's who he had to come up against. Oh, never mind. Never mind what I was saying.
Just cancel that. He's definitely... I'm keeping faith in Lamptey. I really hope he keeps a clean sheet for once this week, because I don't want to get rid of him because I really like him. That comes to the end of the wildcard options. We are just going to rattle through our locked in 11 before we end the show. This is, of course, a segment where we pick some of the best possible fantasy picks for your team this game week to get you maximum points. We take it position by position, and we lump goalkeepers and defenders in together since they all count for clean sheet points. So, Taylor, who would you give the nod to in between the sticks and in your back line this weekend?
So, I miss sticks, by the way, since he's actually been like kept most clean sheets points for keepers.
Use your mud. Here we go.
Sorry, I'm actually struggling to speak, so I'm trying to make sure I don't make a fool of myself once more, because I've made enough of it. So Darlow's in goals for me.
Darlow.
Even though I'm pretty
50%
sure.
Chance of playing on FPL.
Ah, no!
Just take it back. I don't want to make another fool of myself.
It's out to get
who are Newcastle playing in goal then if Darlow's out? Oh my god, it's Mark Gillespie. Oh my god!
How did Mark Gillespie be Murrow to play against Wolves? Wow.
Unbelievable.
I'm just going to quickly mention my back three is Castagna, Digne, and Robertson. If Liverpool don't get a clean sheet, I'm done. He better just whip in some cross and Castagna get a leadership traits out, get a goal or assist, and that's all I'm saying.
Use your leadership traits to get a goal or assist.
I can't believe Darlow's out. How did that
maybe he's 50%. He's 50%.
That's like basically saying at least you tried.
Anyway, no, I do agree with I don't agree with the Newcastle goalkeeper pick, to be honest, because I think this is a Wolves clean sheet, to be honest. A home clean sheet, that's probably my kind of big call for this week. Wolves are going to not let Newcastle score, because Newcastle looked a bit blunt in the last couple of weeks, even with their attacking reinforcements, the likes of Callum Wilson and Ryan Fraser. Yeah. I'd also back Liverpool defenders if you've got them, Robertson, Alexander-Arnold. If you've not taken Van Dijk out yet, now's the time, because he's not going to play. I'd also chucked in Hugo Lloris for a goalkeeping shout. Spurs away to Burnley. Can't really see any problems for Spurs there, to be honest. But I did also highlight Tariq Lamptey, as I always like to do, because he's an excellent player. Anyone else got any other defensive shouts they want to make before we move up into midfield?
No, I'm the same as you. I've got Kilman in from Wolves, 4 million, or 4.1 now, I think. Nice and cheap. And Robertson.
Big Robbo. There we go. Big Robbo. What about yourself, James?
I think my back three is Lamptey, Mitchell, and I think it's maybe James Justin. My defence is very cheap. I have tried to find some the relatively cheap guys. My most expensive defender is actually Justin at 4.7. As for my goalkeeper, I've got Patricio. I fancy goals to keep a clean sheet against Newcastle. I don't think that would be a particularly good game, but I think I've put it down for a 1-0 or something to Wolves. So that's my goalkeeper for clean sheet points anyway.
And we'll move up into midfield at that. Raf, who have you got in the middle of the park, and who would you back to get some big points this week?
Bruno Fernandes, amongst others, because this, I mean, United-Chelsea just screams penalties, doesn't it?
Yes, because at the current state of the clubs, the game screams nonsense. So with that, penalties come. So yeah, no, I'd agree.
But also, and this one's more of a no-brainer, get Son in. They're playing Burnley. they're going to absolutely smash them. Come on.
It's not going to be nice to watch, to be
honest.
Not,
it's going to be quite unpleasant, I think.
See, if James wasn't out, I probably would have taken Son in this week. But because he was a doubt, I had to move a striker. No, Son's an absolute shout. One man I want to make a shout for, I don't know if anyone else is considering him, Diogo Jota for Liverpool.
That's brave.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think so. I've been quite impressed with him since he's come in.
Oh no,
I was just going to say, I think I've not really been particularly impressed with Firmino for a long time now. To be honest, I'm sick of hearing that, you know, oh, he doesn't score goals, but he does, you know, this, that, and the next thing, and brings the others into play. But I still think Jota's done enough to possibly warrant a shot through the middle with Mane and Salah on either side. But I don't know whether this is the game to try it or not. I don't know.
I could see it being at home to Sheffield United. You're not really taking many risks with that one, to be honest.
I think Mane might have got a knock during the Champions League game as well.
I did see that, but he's sitting fully fit on the website at the moment. I'm not sure if Team News has said anything different, but... So someone else give some midfield shouts while I double check that.
I brought in Phil Foden. I brought him in. I put him in last week, and I've actually deleted my tab on my fantasy in, so I can't remember.
Fool!
But I know I brought in Phil Foden from last week, and I feel like obviously Pep has now, since David Silva's gone, that's the main man in his midfield. So definitely, he popped up against who would have played last week?
Arsenal.
I think he got an assist. Somehow that was an assist. He shot and goal.
Well, was it? It was a shot that rebounded to Sterling.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
He got an assist for that, so I'm all for that. And I could definitely see him get involved against his West Ham. David Moyes is in the seat. He's not in the Zoom call. So that is.
But look what happened last weekend.
I told you he went away last week.
He was sitting in the stadium on a Zoom call from the actual changing rooms. Because he's actually better at managing from a Zoom call than he is in the seat.
I've got a bit of a show, actually. Adamola Lookman.
Oh, you mentioned this to me, didn't you?
He is a really good player. I don't know what he's doing right now. Yeah, but they're playing Palace this week. They've got West Brom the next week, and West Ham after that. They've got a decent run of fixtures where it could, you know, make a difference.
This is a big important month for Fulham coming up that they need to really get some points out of. Yeah. Definitely.
Lookman's actually my key player for this week. I've put it down for a 2-0 Fulham win. I was quite vocal on Sunday about how I really wasn't impressed with Palace against Brighton, and how Brighton, if Palace had won, I said it would have been a bad result for football. Because Brighton were the team trying to play football. Palace had one shot on target, and it was the penalty that they got. So as for my midfielders, I've captained Salah this week. I brought in Mo Salah, captained him. Son retains his place alongside Christian Pulisic and Yves Bissouma in my midfield.
Nice, I like that shout. I'd mentioned Pascal Gross as a potential shout for Brighton this week. I think he could probably be quite influential. I've got Pulisic in, Harvey Barnes, Daniel Podence, hopefully he starts on the left with Adama on the right, and Wilf Zaha is retaining his place, but I think next week he will make way for Heung-Min Son, with me sitting with 3.7 million in my bank.
Nice.
Room to manoeuvre. Finally, strikers, Jamie, who's leading your line?
Captain Kane retains his place. Obviously,
not captain anymore, is he?
Well, Captain Kane is for Spurs anyway.
Of course. Wait, is Lloris not captain?
Sorry?
Is Lloris not captain?
Oh, is he?
I could be wrong. I might have changed it over summer.
Is Kane England? Is Kane?
Kane's England captain, aren't
he? Yeah, he's England captain.
Fair enough. Kane retains his place then. Him and Son did wonders at the weekend, despite not getting the 3 points somehow. Mopey retains his place. I fancy him to notch in a Brighton win against West Brom, and the German fraud retains his place up front. He's finally scored, so hopefully he can kick on now and hopefully start his quest to become Golden Boot winner.
I'd love to see it. I really would. Mopey is the man I've brought in this week. I had Keenan Davis on my bench who hadn't had a look in. It made sense to get a striker in and save Rodriguez on the bench. Mopey seemed the most kind of comfortable shout for me, because I was thinking either him, Ollie Watkins, or Callum Wilson, and I believed out of all three, Brighton had the easiest fixture and the most likelihood of their striker netting. So Mopey to get a goal against West Brom at home. I've also got the German fraud up front. I'm not captained him this week. I captained him last week on a whim, and it very much played out exactly how I hoped. And Raul Jimenez finds out my front three, so I'm actually quite happy with that front three, the way it looks. And I do back Raul to get a goal against Newcastle. Taylor, how about yourself?
I just want to quickly mention, I forgot to say, I also put Rodriguez to start in my midfield, but obviously Harvey Barnes is my first sub, so I've took the gamble on that.
Oh, so you're no, I don't like that, mate. Well, if he only comes on for the last 10 minutes and does nothing, and Harvey Barnes gets a goal, then you've wasted a pick.
Oh, I've got. I'm brave.
Actually, no. Do it. You're 4 points ahead of me. Yeah, do that. Exactly. Yeah, that's fine.
I'm doing the switch right now back to Harvey Barnes starting. So thank you.
Oh, well,
but do you think Harvey Barnes will do anything against Arsenal? What was your prediction for Arsenal Leicester?
Yeah, 2 each.
Oh, there you go then. So yeah, probably should be playing them.
Yeah. So
I shouldn't have said anything now.
Yeah. Thank you, Jack. See, that's great insight for you.
Great insight, but it's not selfish enough.
My three is Calvert-Lewin, who I've got in now. I think I've had him in for 2 weeks. Mopey, because he's just consistently notching, like, I go in here, there, every other week. And then I took him out, and I've now brought him back in. And the German fraud again.
He's not going to score this week now, is he?
Yeah, he's not going to score now, but I'm taking the gamble because I did say, since he scores, that's it, the floodgates will open. So, well, the gates are open. May the flooding commence. Is this podcast done yet?
No, mate, it should be. Like, the amount of things that you've said that are just going to get clipped up by the boys is genuinely ridiculous. Raph, try and end this on some sanity. Who have you got leading your line?
I've got, as you know, an English front three, as it
you
should
do,
be.
Yeah. I'll be talking about this.
Calvert-Lewin, Ings, Kane.
Strong.
Strong. Yeah, very strong. I don't need to go into an essay like Taylor. I trust these guys to bag.
Save your essays for next Friday, eh?
Oh, jeez. Don't.
I'm sorry.
This is my happy place.
This is the one safe place that we can survive without deadlines.
But I think that, Calvert-Lewin, I think, can definitely score against Southampton. I already said I think Kane could run riot against Burnley. But also, you know, Everton aren't infallible.
They're not. Yeah.
And if anyone's going to score against them, Danny Ings is very, very capable of that.
There we go. Well, nice wee way to round it off. And that does bring this episode of the Fantasy Ramble to an end. Thank you very much to everyone out there for listening. Make sure to subscribe to our Ramble feed wherever you get your podcast to make sure new episodes show up automatically on your feed. And follow us over on Twitter at Fantasy Ramble to see all of our host predictions for this game week's fixtures once again. Thank you very much to Raph, Taylor and Jamie for joining me today. Make sure to check out the Football Roundup on Monday and Extra Time next Thursday before we return on Friday as usual. Until then, my name is Jack Donnelly. This has been the Fantasy Ramble by Energy Sport. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time.